staff specifically with this.
Jeff, I don't know if you're thinking of this. We're concluding our staff presentation. Karen was going to go over some assessment information. Were you aware of that? Karen,
well, that was kind of my question.
I'm sorry. I answered myself, not for Karen.
Okay. How much more time?
Provided a write-up about the nitrate numerical endpoint.
I can answer a question about that.
So why don't you, that'd be okay.
It takes a little more time. It's up to everybody.
Whatever.
So parents, plus
we're going to level for us. Is that any feedback?
Okay, so let's do this. Let's complete everything by 1:30. And we need a few minutes.
15 minutes for questions.
Well, that and also I just one more item, but that's really going to take me 2 minutes to discuss with the board. We're not going to really get into it. So.
Why don't we just do a little math discussion?
Okay.
However, if we show you that this for a souvenir.
So we've been working with there's a vision assessment team that's been working quite a bit with the other teams, the other vision teams and the programs in our office to help define what the parameters are that we want to track to measure our success in this program. And I have to say, after listening to Dean's talk, you have to really kind of think of backing out in terms of level of detail. And it's really hard to come up with parameters that you can do at a region-wide scale that are highly specific. So we are looking for ways to use data that's available to us readily, that's likely to be available for the long term, for example. We want to be able to do this year after year into the future. And so the teams have been putting together data sets. They've been using, going to various existing statewide data sources like the Department of Public Health. We have an enormous surface water data set of our own. And there are other types of measures we're looking at, like, for example, closures and cleanup sites and that kind of thing. They're not just strictly water quality data driven. To put together key parameters for each of our goals. And so Dave, where did he go? There he is. That's the projector to do that. Dave's been really working hard on this website. So it's sort of a prototype where we'd like to go with our vision website. And to get ready for our presentation today, we really focused on nitrate specifically. It has a ways to go to get the other parameters filled out, so I don't expect it to be publicly available for several months. However, and the other thing about it, what I'm going to show you today, is because we use Department of Public Health data, we are going to be showing you some drinking water well data. We would not make that available on the public website because it's not allowed.
The locations.
Sure. In other words, right now we have the capability here to show the locations, and we don't want to do that for drinking water wells. So, though I'm going to show you what. Yes.
I just the security of this data. I mean, clearly it's in the database. Can somebody hack into it if they want to? So it's been integrated into the database.
Right. What's the problem with disclosing the location?
It's a Homeland Security issue, and
there's a state in the water footage law about not disclosing certain information about wells publicly.
In the water code?
I mean, it was there before Homeland Security, and then there's a federal law that add on to that about well locations.
With the new, satellite, the Google-type tools, you can zoom into these things to, what corner of the field they're sitting on. So it really...
It's kind of pointless.
So the idea is going to be that for each of our goals, we sort of have an overall report card assessment of how we're doing, but you should be able to drill in to any level of detail that you're interested in, including for most of the data sets to the... viewing the data itself that makes up the metric. And within each of these, and you've seen these key parameters, most of you. It's blinking. We may be really putting it to the test. This is a healthy aquatic habitat. For each parameter, we have several metrics that would make that up. For example, toxicity, the biostimulation, which is what I was just describing, associated with nutrients. Our scores associated with our benthic invertebrate sampling as measures of health, riparian corridor health, for example. Oh, it's fine. Yeah, finally, we want to include an assessment of the impaired waters listing, the 303D listing, as one of the parameters we consider in depicting health. Now, I'm going to go to the focus on groundwater today, partly because, as you know, we've had surface water up on our website for some time, I think since 2000 for CCAMP data, but we have never ventured into the realm of groundwater data. So this was actually pretty exciting. As I mentioned, this is only public water supply wells data. What that means is we aren't going to see the really the worst of the worst, basically. These are the deeper wells. These are the wells that they cease to use if they become a problem. So although we do see some exceedance of MCLs in these wells, if we add in other data from other sources, we will get a different picture. So these groundwater health index components are being developed through the groundwater team. And basically, what we're doing right now is looking at ways to interpret them, because you can say you want to look at exceedance of nitrate as a key parameter, but how you look at it is really critical to what the picture ends up looking like. And so what's a fair depiction of that? So what we've got here on the map is the groundwater basins. This is from Department of Water Resources, Bolton 118 groundwater basins. And this is just like any Google map where you'll be able to zoom in to any level of detail you're interested in. I'm going to move into nitrate specifically. So basically, here's the groundwater goal. Here's the parameters associated with that goal. And now I'm going to go look at nitrate in more detail, because that's the one that has information in it. The rest haven't been filled up yet. Basically, what we've come up with is a coloring scheme to color the polygons that are in the map. And what was interesting to us is when we started coloring these larger basins using this scheme, which I'll go over in a minute, it's really hard to understand what this means overall. For example, this yellow color means that less than 10% of the wells exceed the drinking water standard. We see a lot of that when we look at the whole region colored by basin. And when we discovered one thing was that it was more, maybe more meaningful to use a smaller scale of detail for the polygons. So we started looking at, let me just show you where the wells are located. So you can select different layers. For example, here's the public supply wells that will not be available on the public website. We're going to zoom in to higher level detail. Let's go to Morbay, since we've been talking about it. You can see that Morbay is actually one of the few basins that scores this F grade, which means that over 20% of the wells in that basin exceeded. In this case, 10 milligrams per liter is as nitrogen. That's the same as the 45 you were looking at earlier, but this is expressed as nitrogen instead of nitrate. So it's still the drinking water standard. So basically, 20% of the public supply wells in that basin exceeded the MCL. If we look at it sort of on a watershed scale, what I want to show you is that there's a lot of wells that fall outside of these drinking water basins. And if you only looked at the drinking water basins to characterize them, you'd be missing a lot of these small wells. These are wells that serve more than 10 connections. Is that right? 15 connections. I'm going to turn the wells back on. So basically, we're using the scores of the wells within any given polygon to score the polygon. And then the way we're coming up with this overall percentage health score is by saying what percent of those polygons So when we did that, using the small watersheds, we come up with 77% of the small watersheds stay below the drinking water MCL, which is these A and B scores right here. So that's how we're proceeding. We haven't moved this into surface water yet, but we'll be using sort of a similar approach to score our surface water or watersheds. And obviously, we could take this data a lot of different directions. We could look at scores within a single hydrologic area, for example, or a single groundwater basin. And I think it gives it's going to give staff a lot of information they haven't had at their desktops in the past. We'll be back out to a broader scale so you can see what the overall region looks like. Oops, I'm hitting the wrong button to do that. So you can see, this is the, I'm going to turn the wells off, got lots of wells. This is the Salinas Valley we've been talking about. You know, Yagas area that you were seeing the map of earlier. There's the Morro Bay area. And some of the area down around Fossa Flaco. So it's something to really help us understand where overall problems are and prioritize our work. What we'll be doing next, at least for groundwater, is working on some of the other parameters and concerns, including salts, and then just exceedance of any MCLs for any chemical we have data on. So that would be another of the parameters we'll make available.
Is this accessible yet on the internet?
I'm sorry?
Is it accessible yet to the public on the internet?
No.
What's your target date for?
I was hoping for September.
You know, more in chambers of commerce statewide at this time?
Haven't planned to, but.
they'll find out very soon.
The other thing is, of course, Google Maps can, as I said, drill in quite a high level of detail. You actually can, and the surface water bodies are on there as well. Pre-outlines, you actually can drill in and see the creek, see our monitoring sites, see how the sites are scored, and then how you characterize the watershed associated with it. So it's going to be pretty exciting and I think very useful once we have it.
And I guess you'll have that other criteria, which was percent permeable surface area. And then a watershed,
yeah, exactly.
That'll be something else you'll have.
Right, so
along.
All of those key parameters we've discussed,
right.
permeability, we've looked at some parameters associated with pesticide use, some associated with, for example, our toxicity data. So there's a number of them that we would be able to.
Now, does all of this health-related information kind of roll up into a score?
Yes.
For region?
Those were those pie charts that didn't look like they were active. But then each one of the individual parameters would also be scored. And then you can sort of move into different layers of detail to look at how any individual metrics work.
Pretty amazing.
Yes, it's really a huge jump in our capability, actually, for our web work. I'm pretty excited about it. And what's really been neat is the whole office has really been contributing data and thinking and commenting on the design. And, so it's been a good interactive effort.
That fall time frame kind of coincidentally, I guess, coincides with we were talking earlier today at the outset about performance measures, both here and statewide, and coincidentally, the state board will be coming out with their first report card probably in the fall, but it will start with really the lower order kind of performance measures like number of permits and enforcement actions and things like that. These are really the highest order kinds of information of actual water quality out of the watersheds, which of course is more helpful and more meaningful. State board intends to get there eventually, but it'll will take a while. This is the first step at the state board.
There is this. They are. They've been bullying them a little bit.
Anything else, Karen?
I think that's why we're going to have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah. All right.
Out of the question.
We're trying to meet our 1:30 deadline as we impose on ourselves. Any comments? And Tom, I'm on page 15 of the staff report. You know, staff had asked us questions if we have any to get back to staff.
My short comment is this. I also looked at the budget and felt that I couldn't contribute specific points or gaps in the last few areas, but you're in for maybe one look further. But what did strike me, and I think what I'm aware of generally, is that there's a lot of work that goes on across the year, and we typically, we get very close to these issues through the items that are agendized on the hearing. And we get the packets and we get the links to the bigger reports that have been generated and so forth. I would like to suggest that board members receive that information more regularly. In other words, that we've got the bioaccumulation report. That's something that would be very helpful to read as background, not specific to an item on a hearing where I'm already inundated with, you know, a packet this big. But I would like to have those coming my way more in a more timely way, in other words, like when they're finished, so that it's going into my thinking more broadly as to where our priorities are.
Instead of one specific agenda item,
right,
and then we kind of forget
right
about it and
right
don't realize, well, it also applies to
yeah
others.
Exactly. And I think that would help elevate my sense, first of all, of where we are kind of compiling new level of understanding. What that's communicating to you all as staff clearly is making a huge difference. So this biosimulation report triggered a whole approach shift that affects PMBLs, may affect stormwater, some of the other programs. And you know, we can see that when we sit down and do these kind of big picture discussions. But it certainly isn't easy for me to do that when I get the packets and, you know, everything is like neatly organized for item and issue and problem and regulatory action. So I realize it's asking for more work on a regular basis, but I think it would, for my part, it would make my effort way more informed, and I think more I'd have a clearer understanding of how these things are linking in. So that would be my.
Well, even if there was just an email to us with a link
that's
to the website where we
yeah
could go get
yeah
staff's memo or staff report or what have you,
yeah,
that would be adequate.
So I think it's the program milestones, you know. So when big summary reports are put together, or I'm thinking of the CCAMP rotational studies. I know I've been interested in one particular watershed, and I've asked for that over time, and I've received it, but it's at various stages along the way, and unless I think about it, to go back and say, hey, is that in final form yet? You know, it doesn't come up again. But if we get the kind of a big milestone report, that would be great.
And that's a thought well taken. On the other end of it, when we do have all the individual agenda items that we're bringing to you, one of the things that we've been trying to do in the last couple of years is to also show you how they are making progress within the watersheds towards overall goals, to try to put those in context from that direction as well. You're talking about more of the overall initiative
yeah
progress, like these kinds of things, which is, it doesn't tie in with those individual items necessarily. So I think it's a matter of bringing it to you from both directions rather than just the single agenda item direction.
Yeah, I do agree that the presentation especially helps
mm-hmm
where it fits into a set of objectives and goals. That's been well done.
Okay, thanks.
Russ, anything to add? Okay. David? Tom?
I think it was an appropriate level of detail, good interaction. I did want to comment on one of the lines in the conclusion.
Yes.
I just thought it was interesting where it said, we will not avoid these challenges with convenient, politically safe, or popular decisions, and at the end, hold ourselves accountable. I'm thinking, you know, you hold yourself accountable to our community at large. Certainly, elected officials understand that. So I think there's a little bit of a trade-off, and that's why I'm concerned about public input process as you go out to the board. I think Jeff has done a good job, but I've observed that over time. But there is kind of a balance, because if you really care about end results, it's part of a system which includes community buy-in and everything, and education and everything else. So I see it as a continuous system.
Right.
And I don't have buying answers to these questions. Or staff has more than adequate to describe everything that it set out to describe. I wouldn't know, you know, with any specificity, you know, how to add to it or to get, you know, need any more information. But you know, we're kind of the lay people here. You're the scientist. It would take a Bruce Daniels or a Daniel Press to nitpick with you. You know, we don't have that luxury anymore. So you're getting off, maybe you're getting off the hook, I don't know. You know. And it looks great. You know, I mean, kind of impressive, really, for me. So, all right. And then the last agenda item.